From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we continue with an episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast that we began on yesterday's broadcast. Hank is talking with poet, priest, and prolific writer Brother Andreas Knopp, author of The Last Christians, Stories of Persecution, Flight, and Resilience in the Middle East. Here now are Hank Hanegraaff and Andreas Knopp.
In the long time of Islam, the Quran was read with a key of understanding that Islam is politics and religion at the same time. In Christianity, we have another history, because Jesus never was a political leader. He didn't want to be the king with the sword in the hand. This was one of the temptations in the desert for Jesus, and he resisted to this temptation. I don't want to bring the gospel by force, by political force. And so Islam has to learn that. And this is a good development that there are intellectuals who are thinking this way, but it's only a small group. And I think that we as Christians, we have to help them and to support these groups of Islamic teachers who are preaching another way of reading Quran, this another key of understanding which separates political power and spiritual life. And only if this idea can be accepted by Islamic states, then there will be the possibility of a liberty of religion, of conscience, of tolerance and respect. For the moment, I am very skeptical whether this will be a political future in the next time. But we have not to lose our hope. As Christians, we have always to have hope for the better world of God. And so we have to support this good movement, and we have finally to stop to support the fundamentalistic interpretations and the states who are paying them and who are working in the direction of a fundamentalistic Islam like Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and others.
Interesting. As you point out, there really are two Muhammads, and there really, in effect, are two Qurans. You have the Meccan Muhammad and you have the Medinan Muhammad. You have the Meccan surahs and ayahs, and then you have the Medinan surahs and ayahs. And the two are very, very different. The problem, as I see it, is that the Muslims have a doctrine of abrogation, which means that which went before is abrogated by that which comes later. And unfortunately,
That's a problem.
The most violent verses are those that are the latest or the last verses of the Quran, not in terms of the chronology of the Quran, because that's not how the Quran is organized. It's organized from the longest to the shortest. But in terms of the last pronouncements of Muhammad, they were very violent pronouncements. But I think that what you're looking forward to is a couple of things. One is that people will gravitate to those verses that came out of Mecca rather than the violent verses that came out of Medina. And then the greater issue, and that is, as you change Muslim hearts, you change Muslim behavior.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the only hope that we have, that another interpretation of the Quran can help the Muslims to discover the values which we got from the gospel. Maybe it will take a lot of time, but I think that we have to support these intellectual teachers who read the Quran with another interpretation. But I'm not sure whether they will really have success. And what you told, we cannot enter, we cannot change behavior without changing the hearts. And I think if the Muslims and now the refugees discover in our society that people are not discriminated because they are Muslims or Christians or Buddhists or not believers, so if they discover that as a real value, so they can change. They can change. Say, okay, this is the better alternative. So if they discover what the Western society is living here, with freedom, tolerance, respect, equality, this is better. This is a better ethical alternative. So we can win them from their inner side, from their heart.
What I'd like to do is take a little journey into the pages of your book. In your book, you recount the story of how in 2006, a Syrian Orthodox priest was abducted by Muslim extremists. And then the condition of his release was that the church should disown a speech given by Pope Benedict the 16th. Well, the relatives distanced themselves from the Pope's words. They paid the jizya or they paid the ransom, and yet the priest's arms and legs were cut off. The brutality that you describe in the book is unthinkable to many people. They can imagine this in a horror movie, but they can't imagine that this is going on as we're eating in fancy restaurants.
Yes, I was also shocked in reading this story when they told me in Iraq. I think human violence and cruel behavior is a very complex phenomenon. As a German, I know the history of the terrible violence committed by the Nazism of Hitler. And I think that ideology and also religion can activate these cruel potentials to whom people are able. Ideology means for me that an idea becomes so strong that the normal human feelings and commitments are eliminated. And also religion can serve as an ideology. It can activate feelings like hate, anger, and fear. And I think the problem in the Arabic Muslim world, so pride is a very important feeling. And when the Pope criticized the Prophet Muhammad, a lot of Muslims felt being hurt. It was like an attack to their identity. They had the impression as if the Pope wanted to aggress their religious and social identity. And I think this impression led to a very highly emotional reaction. They wanted to avenge this aggression, and they used the Christians in their neighborhood as scapegoats. And I think this is an archaic mechanism which can produce a very cruel behavior towards innocent people. So this is also a problem of the culture of the of being pride and also to think that religion has to be defended by violence. And in Christianity we have another message. So you cannot avenge God by killing a man. Man cannot be killed only because you for the honor of God, because this was the motive, the honor of God. But in Christianity we knew that Christ was killed, and the high priest thought it was in the honor of God, but then by the Christianity discovered no, never a man can be killed to honor God.
I want to get into a number of other issues, but back into your book, you talk about the spray painting of Christian houses with the scarlet noon, the 14th letter of the Arabic alphabet. And so you have these houses that are being confiscated for ISIS and then declared free for looting. And talk a little bit about this noon, this 14th letter of the Arabic alphabet. We ourselves at the Christian Research Institute are producing these pins. I wear one on my lapel. as a way of standing in solidarity with Christians in the Middle East that are facing genocide, opening the discussion about it. For me, that 14th letter of the Arabic alphabet, that noon, is a term of solidarity. I stand with the Nazarene, with Jesus Christ. For Muslims, spray painting that noon on houses is like a scarlet letter. It is like a term of derision. And I think you talk about this in the book, because this is not just something academic to you. You've seen it.
Yes, I myself have a T-shirt with the Arabic letter of noon. And if I remember well, it was a Christian TV moderator in Lebanon who began wearing shirts marked with this letter to show, it was a woman, her solidarity with the Christians of Mosul. And at the same time, I remember that also during the Nazism in Germany, some Christians put on their clothes the Star of David, which the Nazis used to mark and discriminate the Jewish people. So they wanted to show their solidarity with Jewish people. I think that could really be a very good sign of solidarity with the Christians, which have to suffer only because they are believing in Christ.
One other thing that occurs to me that I want to get your perspective on before we get further into your book, I think about assimilation of Muslims into Western culture. And I've often talked about the problem of migration without assimilation. And if you live in an EU country, as you do, you're probably more aware on a visceral level what that means, migration without assimilation. And perhaps what I'm getting at is, how can that problem be solved? How can the problem of these Muslim enclaves in which Sharia law is being practiced, how can you take that kind of a motif and change it so that Muslims more readily assimilate into the German culture or the Swiss culture or the Dutch culture or whatever it might be?
You touch a real problem, because I think for Islamic people, there is also this identity between religion and society, or being member of a state. And so they wanted to remain faithful to their religion. And for example, our Turkish minorities here, they wanted also to remain Turkish people. So the assimilation or the integration in the society is very difficult. And I think this is a problem connected to Islam, because there is no separation between religious life and social life. Or to being a member of a faith or a religion and be a citizen. And I think it should be developed also in Islam, the notion of citizenship. The citizenship means that all citizens of Germany are equal and they have the right to vote and so on. But this is not connected to their religion. But the people who are coming now from the Arabic countries, they don't know this distinction. They are thinking, yes, I am a Muslim, and therefore I cannot share the citizenship to be a German. So they have to learn to distinguish. I can be a German and I can vote in Germany and have all the rights and duties of German society, but in the same time, this is not connected to my religion. I hope that they discover here that citizenship is a progress. It was a very important human progress to discover the notion of citizenship, because they don't bring this with their experience, but they have to learn that. And that is a long way. It's a very long way. And I hope we have patience and we can convince them that they can integrate in our society, being here, German citizens, and at the same time, they they can remain Muslims in respecting that a Muslim has the same rights as a Christian and as a Jewish and as a not-believer, and that the Muslim is not a prior or not a, there's no superiority of the Muslims in front of the other religions. This is a heritage they bring with them, this idea of superiority, but they have to leave that.
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Brother Andreas Knopp. Although our faith and freedoms as Christians are under assault on multiple fronts, there is no current threat to Christians globally that is more virulent than militant Islam. In his book, The Last Christians: Stories of Persecution, Flight, and Resilience in the Middle East, Brother Andreas Knopp chronicles the tragic plight of Aramaic Christians, those still speaking the actual language of Jesus, as they have suffered unimaginable atrocities at the hands of global Islamic jihadists. Readers will be inspired by the unshakable devotion of Christians who have lost everything and yet count it all joy for Christ. Receive your copy of The Last Christians, Stories of Persecution, Flight, and Resilience in the Middle East as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also text Muslim to 41444. That's text Muslim to 41444. Or visit equip.org. Stay tuned. We'll be back shortly with more of this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The Coen brothers are among the most critically acclaimed film directors of our time, yet the meaning behind their movies is often veiled in mystery. This offers a clue about the Coens' worldview. The difficulty is part of the design. Other topics include changing attitudes toward the resurrection of Jesus. Is a pro-life hermeneutic possible? How to revive a dead church? The Jewish Talmud and its use for Christian apologetics, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. On this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, we're bringing to you an episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast, featuring Hank's conversation with Brother Andreas Knopp, author of The Last Christians, Stories of Persecution, Flight, and Resilience in the Middle East. To receive your copy of The Last Christians as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Let's now rejoin Hank Hanegraaff and Andreas Knopp.
There's a demographic problem as well, I think, that you are more aware of than most. In the Western EU countries, you have basically the death rate far exceeding the birth rate. So in many ways, Europeans are self-aborting through abortion, through euthanasia, through same-sex sexuality, and many other reasons demographically why the native populations are dwindling. And then you have polygamous Muslims rushing in to fill the vacuum. So the patience that you talk about, yeah, on the one hand, you need to have that patience. On the other hand, you do have a very severe demographic problem. And it seems to me that a country that becomes Muslim demographically will be a country that becomes Islamic politically as well.
Yes, I see the same problem. But I hope on the other side that living here in our society and learning about our values can also convert the opinions and the hearts of a lot of the Muslim people. Not of all, but I see that there are a lot of who are really appreciating our society with the values. And so they leave this idea that only Islam is the true religion and there has to be a very near connection between state and religion. So they discover that the secular society or a citizenship offers a lot of liberty. And I think liberty and freedom is something which is attracting people. And there may be, that's my small hope, that the ideas grow faster and the convictions grow faster than the demographic process.
What's going on in Turkey? Not a single church has been built in Turkey since, I think, back in 1923. The remaining churches are being taken over by the state. And it seems very, very strange to me, because if you think about what happened March 3rd, I think it was 1924, when Mustafa Kemal Atatürk abolished the caliphate and he pronounced the Islamic religion as the theology of an immoral Arab. He said it was a dead thing and produced a secular state. Now you have Erdogan seemingly turning everything into sort of a hard line and returning the idea of Islamization back to Turkey.
Yes, Atatürk tried to convert Turkey in a modern country, but that was not possible from one moment to the other. And there were a lot of regions which rested very traditional in their faith, in their political thinking. And in Turkey today, there are two different movements. One movement is really to have a modern Turkey with a democratic and tolerant state. But in the last years, there was growing the Islamization of politics. And I think it was also is a problem of power, because Atatürk time, this was always protected by military, even by the generals. And so Erdogan, he was very smart. He took democracy to get to the power, to arrive at the power, but he is not convinced of the democracy. It is only a way to arrive at his aim, the Islamization of the Turkish society. And so I think we have a real problem with Turkey. There are some movements which are really fighting for liberty of press and opinion and religion, but a lot of them, they are now in prison.
It's a stunning situation, and you think about the whole of the Levant from Anatolia or the southern part of Turkey all the way down to Egypt. It's a place in chaos and turmoil, and it deserves the prayers of all God's people. And not only the prayers, but the active functioning of God's people. A lot of my friends in the West that are part of an organization or a move of the Holy Spirit called the Lord's Recovery are actually traveling to and migrating, as it were, to places like Germany so that they can reach out to people who are refugees with the sole purpose of bringing the gospel, doing the sorts of things that you are doing, the cup of water, the piece of bread in the name of the Lord. I want to touch on something else with you, and that is the stunning contrast between the concept of martyrdom in Christianity and the concept of martyrdom in Islam. For Christians, martyr means witness, a person who suffers violent death for Christ's sake as a blood witness. On the other hand, in Islam, a martyr is defined very, very differently. He's someone that carries a weapon. He dies as a holy warrior. And for Islamic authorities to describe, therefore, suicide attacks in which the perpetrators go straight to paradise and the victims go straight to hell seems nothing short of perverse. Why do these radically different notions of martyrdom, why are they so different, number one? Talk about that. But what do they tell us about the values that underlie Christianity as opposed to Islam? And is there even a conceivable way that such radically different values can be reconciled?
Yes, I think the difference in understanding martyr tells us something about the basic difference of Christianity and Islam in their origin. So the central person for Christianity is Jesus, and he preached and lived nonviolence. He preferred to be a victim of unjust violence. And Jesus gives the example of a Christian martyr. And his example tells us also something about the Christian image and understanding of God. God doesn't force man to believe. He respects the liberty of man. In Islam, it's quite different, because Muhammad, as just we told, was also a statesman. And therefore, the Islamic martyr is somebody who bear witness to his faith also by fighting with weapons and killing people. In this concept of religion, God can be seen as a force who forces man to believe, because the not believers are threatened to be killed. So here we find really a great difference between the two religions. But there are also elements of interpretation. We can reconcile these two opposite directions. I think reading the Quran with in every surah there is the beginning, in the name of God, the most merciful. You can also read the Quran with this keyword. But the tradition of Islam, it was not read in this direction, mostly. But they know also the martyr as somebody who is not suffering violence, but who is killing other people. There's a real difference between the two religions.
There is, and your book is absolutely incredible. It is riveting. It is well written. And I want to mention to our audience that the book is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. For those who support the ministry, we'll just send a copy out to you. You can check it out on our website at equip.org, The Last Christians by Andreas Knopp. And these are stories of persecution, flight, and resilience in the Middle East. The picture on the book, to me, is a very riveting picture. And I'm sure there's a story behind why this particular picture is on the cover of the book.
Yes, it shows a woman praying, and at the same time you see a tattoo on her hand with a cross, with a sign of Christ. So I think you see a suffering person, and at the same time she's bearing witness to the cross of Jesus. So she discovers the suffering, the own suffering is connected with the suffering of Christ. And this gives also the force to live this very difficult experience with faith and with hope.
Talk to self-satisfied Western Christians. Oftentimes we sit or stand in beautiful auditoriums. We have prosperity. We have all the luxuries of this world, and yet there's a God-shaped vacuum that only He can fill. And I think you can speak to this probably better than most, because you're living the life, as it were, of poverty. You're living a life in which you've given up the things of the world, but you've gained something far, far richer, far, far more fulfilling. And I think if Christians could emulate that in mass, we could as yet be a global, world-changing power. But we've lost the power of the gospel because Christ has become a means to our ends.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I made the experience that following Jesus in everyday life, this can fulfill my heart more than all the consumism and a lot of things. They are only troubling my spirit. But living in a simple way, sharing with the poor people, I go to prison to visit the prisoners, to share with them, that makes my life very rich. And this was Jesus was preaching and living. He went to the people at the margin of the society. And there you can discover that God is very near to you.
I am so touched by your book, and I'm so touched by the opportunity to speak to you. The authenticity of your Christian testimony is very evident in your words, and I'm grateful for you. I hope a lot of people will get the book, and more than that, a lot of people will emulate the example that you have set forth, not only in the broadcast, but in your everyday life. So thank you so much. I mean, this has been far richer than I ever anticipated. I mean, the book was phenomenal, but talking to you exceeded my wildest expectations.
Oh, thank you very much, Hank, and also to listen to your testimony and to your witness and to your answers. That was very rich for me. So if somebody puts good questions, we can always learn more. Thank you for the conversation.
I'm hoping someday I'll get to meet you in the flesh. I mean, I'm battling cancer right now, and you know, when I get done with this battle and it looks promising, I hope someday I'll see you.
Okay. You're invited to come to our quarter here in Leipzig in Germany, and there can you present some of the families of the Christians who are the refugees and who are very beautiful people, and I learn a lot of by them.
Well, thank you, my brother. This was a fantastic time for me. I know the people that are going to be listening in over the months and years to come are going to be very blessed by your testimony and, of course, by your book. Thank you again.
The Bible Answer Man broadcast and CRI's growing array of outreaches have never been more needed than they are today. And that's why we won't be shy in asking you to stand shoulder to shoulder with the Christian Research Institute through your persistent prayers and generous financial support. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and CRI in the battle for life and truth and receive your copy of The Last Christians: Stories of Persecution, Flight, and Resilience in the Middle East, as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also text Muslim to 41444. That's text Muslim to 41444. Or visit equip.org. Don't go away. Hank will be back after the break on this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine. combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Recent scholarly research has been significantly more open toward Jesus' healing the sick, his empty tomb, and even his post-resurrection appearances. So why have these same critics not fallen to their knees and proclaimed, "My Lord and my God"? Other topics include the Jewish Talmud and its use for Christian apologetics, the Cohen brothers and the riddle of existence, defending the biblical view of human sexuality using an effective Socratic question approach, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI. Make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. While legions of the theologically clueless and politically correct fall over themselves in their rush to paint a warmer and kinder picture of Islam, you might well be wondering, what's really the truth? Hank Hanegraaff clearly answers the question in his new book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive the book, Muslim, as our thank you for your gift today, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And you've been listening to A Couple of Days with Andreas Knoppen. I tell you, as I interviewed him, I was deeply touched by someone who was willing to leave a prestigious position as the head of Freiburg Seminary, and then to live and work among the poor as a member of the Little Brothers of the Gospel, someone who was ministering to prisoners and refugees, someone who was bringing the gospel to those who are down and out and hurting. And I love his book, and it's one of the reasons I had Andreas Knopp on my broadcast. His book, The Last Christians, is really the story of refugees in his neighborhood, displaced people from the camps of Kurdistan, northern Iraq, and how intersection with their lives brought him into the Levant so he could see firsthand what was going on. And he has explained to us clearly why he would be willing, and many others are willing to do this as well, willing to leave prestigious positions, in his case, the head of a seminary, to go to the margins of society and work amongst the poor. Some of my brothers and sisters in the Lord's recovery have done just that. They've moved to Germany. They've given up their lives in the West, their comforts, to reach Muslims with the gospel, which alone is the power to stave off what is going on in the demise of Western civilization. Ultimately, I can say from my heart, great will be their reward in heaven. We see as we talk to Andreas Knopp, a clear testimony of Germany's transition away from Christianity and the great need for Christians to stop fighting one another and to unite around the essentials of the historic Christian faith. This ultimately is the answer to Christ's high priestly prayer, that we all may be as one. In the present, the church is fissuring. And even a fissuring church has power. But that power, well, it is militated against by toxic waste. Imagine what we could do if we experienced fusion as opposed to fission. It takes a lot of work to bring things together. But there's no toxic waste when you do that. Western Christianity also often neglects to understand Eastern Christianity, and perhaps vice versa. And talking about that, or seeing that as Andreas Knopp did when he went to Iraq, is enlightening for all of us. We must live our lives like Christ, for we will stand before Him and give an answer for what we did with the time we spent on earth. And I can tell you, as I face my own mortality, that that is foremost in my mind. As I do this broadcast, as I ask people to stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth, I do so ultimately for an audience of one. My concern, what would Jesus have me do? Christian refugees in Germany inspired Andreas Knopp. They brought him to the Middle East. The result is a book that I want to put into your hands. It is a book that will inspire you. It'll sober you as well, but it will inspire you as you start to recognize how our life can count not only for time, but also for eternity. As you read this book, you will understand why he titled it The Last Christians. This is not a throwaway phrase. This is something that has transcendent significance. And we're going to be talking about this a lot on the Bible Answer Man broadcast and through social media. The importance of the 14th letter of the Arabic alphabet. I wear it on my lapel. I wear it as a sign of solidarity with Christians who are suffering persecution. And I hope you will join me. The problem of Islamic migration without assimilation in the West, as well as the problem of martyrdom in the East, it is a problem. It is, on the one hand, the blood of the martyrs becoming the seed of the church. On the other hand, it is a travesty. A problem, as I said, that we are not praying for our brothers and sisters in the East as they face mass genocide. And of course, one of the things that I talked about with Andreas Knopp was the difference between martyrdom in Christianity and Islam. The difference is all the difference in the world. A martyr is one who is willing to lay down his life for Christ and for his bride, the church. A martyr in Islam is one who is armed with a vest by which he can blow himself and others up, or a sword with which he can decapitate, or machine guns with which one can kill in the name of Allah. Because what is clear when you look at the literature is that ultimately everything must be brought into the house of Islam, either by force, through submission, or through sword, or through conversion, where someone says the Shahada and becomes a Muslim. And it's time that we do not fall for taqiyya, religious dissimulation, meaning the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. I think back to some of the things that we're told in our culture, how supposedly the Holy Quran teaches that whoever kills an innocent, it is as if he has killed all humankind, and whoever saves a person, it is as if he has saved all mankind. And we hear this being spouted as proof positive that Islam is a religion of peace and tolerance. Barack Obama, when he was president, used this very passage. But we should know that this is a text out of context that is being used as a pretext for peace. Now, I can say that with certainty because in context, and all one needs to do is check the Quran, Allah is paraphrasing the God of the Jewish Talmud in order to point out that murder, that crucifixion, that mutilation of the Jews was warranted, in that disbelief warrants murder. And again, if you read the context, and certainly Obama was aware of this because it's the very next verse, you will see that the punishment, and this is, if you want to look it up, Quran 5:33, the punishment of those who wage war against Allah and His messenger and strive to make mischief in the land is only this, that they should be murdered or crucified, or their hands and their feet should be cut off on opposite sides, or they should be imprisoned. These are martial verses, not abrogated. Unfortunately, the taqiyya, the religious dissimulation, is only giving us part of the story. CARE, for example, the Council on Islamic-American Relations, is a master at this kind of religious dissimulation, this taqiyya. They're constantly taking text out of context, and the gullible are buying into the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. And again, this is why I wrote my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. It's also why I want you to have a copy of The Last Christians. As I was writing the book, and I've said this on the broadcast a number of times, I was reading so many books on Islam, and I always marked those that I thought, I need to put these books into the hands of my listeners. They need to read these books. And one of those books was The Last Christians by Andreas Knopp. Again, these are stories of persecution, flight, and resilience in the Middle East. This is where mass genocide is taking place. We need to know what's going on. This book is riveting. I could not stop reading it until I had finished the last page. And after I had read it, I wanted to know the author. And once I got to know the author, I thought, wow, what an example of giving the cup of cold water or the piece of bread in the name of Jesus Christ and thereby earning the right to share the gospel. The Last Christians, available to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, as our way of saying thank you for standing with us in the battle for life and truth. And boy, is it ever a battle these days. Also, my book, as I've mentioned, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. I'd be pleased to autograph a copy to you as you write the Christian Research Institute or call us and let us know that you are standing with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. Again, available for those who support the ministry all this month. And for those who join CRI's monthly support team, do remember, I'm pleased to personalize a copy to you, a family member, or a friend. More than anything else, I am so thankful for the prayers of God's people. As we make a difference, we can't make a difference in what happened a generation ago or what will happen a generation in the future, but we can make a difference now, and I'm grateful for those who are willing to do just that. The difference we're making is not just a momentary difference. It is a difference for time and for eternity. Get the book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, or The Last Christians, simply by going to equip.org on the web. You can order there in a safe, secure fashion. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for standing with me.
Well, we've run out of time for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. To listen to this Hank Unplugged podcast interview with Andreas Knopp in its entirety, go to equip.org, iTunes, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. And if you like what you're listening to, be sure to leave a review on iTunes. If you'd like to stand shoulder to shoulder with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute in the battle for life and truth, and receive as our thanks for your gift the book, The Last Christians, Stories of Persecution, Flight, and Resilience in the Middle East, or any of the other resources mentioned on the broadcast today, just call our resource consultants now at 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. You can also text Muslim to 41444 or go online to equip.org. You can also write to us at CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The Coen brothers are among the most critically acclaimed film directors of our time, yet the meaning behind their movies is often veiled in mystery. This offers a clue about the Coens' worldview. The difficulty is part of the design. Other topics include changing attitudes toward the resurrection of Jesus. Is a pro-life hermeneutic possible? How to revive a dead church? The Jewish Talmud and its use for Christian apologetics, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org.